You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everyone. Well, the price has been bouncing around as negotiations continue, but it appears the price is settling on $14 billion as a rescue package for the auto industry. The House voted for it yesterday. There could be a vote in the Senate, and that vote is expected to be much more challenging. Joining us now is Senator Jim DeMint, who's the junior senator from South Carolina, who spoke along with some other Republican senators, critics of any bailout, or certainly the bailout that was being talked about midday yesterday. Senator DeMint, thanks for joining us.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
You know, I listened to all of you speak yesterday, and Senator Shelby led off from Alabama, and you all said different things, but it seems to me fair to say that the consensus among you was that this does not constitute restructuring. This package is not going to change these auto companies into entrepreneurial competitive ventures. Is that fair, and what would change them?
There's no question about it. If the restructuring they'd already done was would sustain them, then people would be investing in their companies. But even the company that owns Chrysler has said they're not going to put any more money in it because it's a bad investment. So it looks like what we've got now is bad for our country. We're borrowing more money. It's setting another bad precedent. Other companies are already asking for bailouts. And we don't think this is going to save the American auto industry. In fact, we think it's going to destroy it. Ultimately, if all we do is kick the can down the road and prop them up, the bill does not put enough teeth in this car czar, which should frighten everyone that we have a federal government with a car czar. But it doesn't give that czar the teeth that a bankruptcy judge would have to make hard decisions that have to be made in order to make these companies profitable.
Well, Senator, let's talk about some of those hard decisions. There are many factories owned by Korean and Japanese companies and some German companies in some of the states represented by the senators who spoke yesterday. What would constitute some of those hard decisions? Would it mean removing the UAW from the Detroit automakers?
We don't have to remove them, but the fact is that over time they have created gold-plated benefits and pensions, and it has made these companies not competitive around the world. But they have such a heavy debt load right now. I think it's like $70 billion that GM owes.
All right, well, let's talk specifics. You want to bail on the pensions?
Well, the government would have to take over a lot of the pensions. There's no way to get out of this without the government spending some money because there's some government guarantees behind pensions. But there's a lot of debt unrelated to pensions that bankruptcy protection allows companies to get out from under. Now, that's not good for the creditors, obviously, but that's what the point of bankruptcy protection is under Chapter 11, is sometimes a company just gets in a position it can't pay its bills. Instead of liquidating, they basically you'll pay back the creditors pennies or dimes on the dollar, and they are able to restructure their debt. And so it appears obvious. I mean, I'm not a bankruptcy expert, but I've seen a lot of companies that have gone through it. You declare bankruptcy, the creditors have to take a much smaller payback. In this case, the unions would have to rewrite contracts in a way that would make these companies competitive. And that's more of the problem with this political solution, because the unions are so heavily influential here in Washington, particularly in the Democrat Party. They're not going to have a car czar that makes the tough decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, I want the unions to get as good a shake as we can, the creditors.
Right.
The fact is that we've got a situation here that if we're going to save the companies and the jobs, it's going to take more than the haircut that Nancy Pelosi talks about. Some things are just going to have to be cut off, and people are going to have to take a big hit.
Well, Senator, let's just take a step back and look at the big picture. Clearly, everyone can understand why there's some suspicion when the auto industry walks in the door having made a whole series of bad decisions. So did lawmakers. And that same thing applied to, say, the banking universe. But given the precarious nature of our economy at the moment, and given the role of automobile manufacturing, can't there be enough safeguards set up so that our taxpayer money is protected in this investment for an infrastructure that really is needed on many levels, many agree, to move forward, whether we're talking about cars or building other things?
Well, actually, there are protections. If we required them to file Chapter 11 before we came and backfilled the amount of loan guarantees that were necessary, the federal money would, in effect, be guaranteed, or it would be the last to go, in effect. But if we give it to them now and then ask them to please restructure later, the money is likely to be used up, and they'll be to the brink of bankruptcy again.
All right, Senator, I just want to get a handle specifically on this restructuring then. You say that the pensions are going to go under the federal jurisdiction anyway because they're guaranteed by the pension authority. So are you then advocating for a radical closing of factories, a reduction in brands? Should GM only be making one truck, one car, one van, that kind of a draconian sort of measure?
Well, I think there's some people here in Washington who think they can make those decisions, but those decisions can't be made politically. They have to be made by a group of turnaround specialists that will be organized under the protection of bankruptcy to make the decisions. But we should not be making those political decisions, and neither should the cars are. I mean, we're crossing some serious constitutional lines here. Mm-hmm. We're throwing rule of law out the door. This is completely arbitrary law. And so the precedent for our country in constitutional government is even a bigger issue than the threat to the car industry.
Well, we have a bank czar, Senator. It's Henry Paulson.
We do have, and I voted against that, and I think the people who voted for it realize what a terrible mistake they've made now. Certainly, if you throw that much money at something, you can say after a while, hey, look, we have made a loan or two, but if you talk to the car dealers and people at the local level, the banks are not lending money because all that first bailout was not structured in a way that they told us it would be. The government can't even run the things that we're supposed to run.
All right, Senator, then before we go, is there anything that can be done to this bill for you to vote yes, or are you a no vote at this point, no matter what?
Well, we were talking yesterday, and I don't think it's going to be an option. This is one of the things they're going to throw on the table and try to stick down our throat, which is another problem in itself. But if the car czar had the same authority as a bankruptcy judge, where that czar could make decisions, it's a little different situation. But I don't think that politically managed car czar could do what an objective bankruptcy judge could do. And we need to separate it from politics, do everything we can to salvage these companies. But I think trying to solve it politically is a huge mistake.
All right, Senator, well stated, well said. We'll see how it goes today. Drama in the Senate. Jim DeMint is the junior senator from South Carolina. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So before we go, think about the concert you went to long, long ago. How much did you pay for it? 877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTake at TakeAway.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.